Hello and welcome to another Network Computing Security Channel podcast. I'm your host, Curtis Franklin. And in this podcast, we're talking with Brett Helsel. He's the president and CEO of Lockdown Networks. And we had a nice discussion about network access control. Now, this isn't just the standard that Cisco has developed and is trying to convince the rest of the industry to participate in. Although we do touch on that, we were more concerned with the broad topic of controlling who and what has access to your organization's network. You know, in many ways, that's the central question. How do we trust the people and the devices that we allow inside our network? Because the assumption is that if we can trust the people and devices, then a lot of the heavy lifting on security is already done. It's a nice theory. We've had some podcasts earlier that looked at security from the inside that made us question that a little bit, but still, we have to start with trusting those who are inside our network. Brett had some fascinating things to say, and while he does come at this from the point of view of his particular company, a lot of the things we talked about were focused on general principles. And I think it's those general principles that are fascinating to consider, regardless of which standards or which products you decide to use to implement control to the access for your network. Well, I'll be back at the end of the interview to talk about our next podcast and upcoming podcasts. But until then, here is Brett Helsel, President and CEO of Lockdown Networks, and our discussion on network access control. Well, it seems like everyone is talking about different ways to control access to their networks. And we're seeing a lot of initiatives, both from huge industry players like Cisco, and it seems like many other industry players in different network infrastructure niches, trying to deal with the question of who can gain access to the network. Tell me, first of all, is, from your perspective, this a brand new concern, or is this something that people have really been working on for a long time?
Kurt, I think that's an excellent question. And I think that one of the large enterprises in the financial industry I've spoken to candidly about the subject told me that their server farm is absolutely protected. They've got rings upon rings of security around their server farm. But one of the great concerns that they have is they've lost control of the desktop. In other words, they have users that are bringing viruses, worms, and all sorts of things in the network. And this causes downtime on the order of 2 to 3 days. And this financial institution's main area of business is home loan processing. And when they can't process home loans, they're pretty much out of business.
Right.
So their concern is, how do I gain control? How do I take back the desktop and gain control of the desktop? And this is something that they've been looking at for 2 or 3 years or more and have not had an effective solution to up until this point.
Okay. Well, now, one of the things I want to do, because it seems that this is a question that gets muddied in the minds of a lot of people, is talk about two separate issues. One is trying to have some control over the people who come into your network. And the other is to control the devices that associate themselves with the network. From where you sit, are those two separate problems, or are they simply parts of a single problem?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think that in making access policy or access decisions based on the organization's policy, there's really four things that need to be evaluated. And I think that you've really nailed it. One is that we need to gather information about the user. So what are his permissions and the authentication of that user, and to be able to look at that. The second thing is gathering information about the device. Are the antivirus signatures up to date? Have they been run? Is there malware on the device? Are all the patches in the registry that are supposed to be there or on the Linux device? Those are very important. The third component is, what are the current threats? What's the latest thing in my environment? And having the ability to understand that. And then the fourth phase or criteria for the access decision is this person within compliance of the drivers of that network? And when you have the ability to take all four of those things into consideration and then make an intelligent decision based on that information, then that's truly solving the problem of keeping the right devices on the network and blocking the ones that shouldn't be on the network.
Okay. Well, let's break it down a little bit. Talk to me from your perspective about what's going on right now with controlling the access of devices to the network. Obviously, we're seeing pushes from a number of different companies towards fairly all-encompassing, we'll say standards, although they tend to be bypassing the normal standards procedures. But all-encompassing standards for controlling the devices to come on the network. Where do you see that right now?
Well, I think that there's a problem with it in the sense that there's a very real problem in providing control over the devices that have access to the network. And a few of the larger vendors have stood up and used their capability of broadcasting to try and communicate a solution. But it's very important that we understand the problem and focus on a solution to the problem, not advancing a particular vendor's move toward autonomy. So, for instance, a solution that truly works, first of all, I believe that there are really three types of solutions. Those that use a non-secure method of control, something like DHCP and client-based access. And then the second area of control would be through managing the switch. And by the way, I think that this is the only real way to manage a session from the time a user on a device connects into the network until the session terminates. The switch is the one place where you can grab onto that session and have complete control. And the third way is through inline devices, which tend to be expensive because it requires a device in every wiring closet and in the packet path. And as you look at networks, no two networks are the same. Some networks are greatly fractionalized with lots of layer 3 boundaries and small branch offices like in financial institutions and retail. And these inline solutions just don't work for that. What I think is very important is to be able to have a central point of control. And again, I believe that the right place to do that is at the switch. But it's not enough to just have control of the switch. You need to be able to incorporate as much information as possible to make an effective decision. And I think one of the problems that we see with most of the large vendors' solutions where they're competing to drive the network is that they only focus on part of the problem. For instance, I think that Microsoft NAP is a very important thing, and being able to take advantage of NAP information in making an access decision is a wonderful thing. However, NAP will never cover 100% of the network. IPsec won't cover all the Linux devices and some of the less intelligent devices that are on the network. Cisco's NAC is an interesting approach, but the problem is you need to have a Cisco trust agent on every device in the network. And in both of these scenarios, you're not going to be able to get 100% coverage. What's important is to be able to manage any type of switch, regardless of the vendor, but gather information from any number of areas, whether that is a network scan for an unintelligent device, a walk down the registry with a credential audit, or a lightweight agent that can allow a device scan. And I think that there are essentially no solutions out there that incorporate all of that. And that's the thing that we've tried to focus on in lockdown, is to be able to actually provide a solution that takes into account all of the information that can be gathered from the network and drive anybody's switch to do that.
Well, now, let me ask a couple of questions following up on what you just said. One, are you saying that it doesn't make sense to try for any sort of standardized approach?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that I didn't mean to infer that. What I am saying is that a standardized approach, an open approach, is the key. It's being able to work in an open environment so that information from, for instance, Cisco agents as well as Symantec agents, be those lightweight virus scanners or Cygate type of products, as well as Microsoft NAP, what they're doing at the Trusted Computing Group, having the capability to use all of that information in order to make a very intelligent decision is key to the success of the future of the business.
Okay, so you would really be arguing in favor of a more open standard rather than one that has any proprietary requirements.
Absolutely. I think that having to standardize on a single vendor to manage your network is contrary to the goals of any IT professional. I think that the IT professional wants to be able to make choices for the products that make sense for his business, for instance, various types of switches and virus scanners and those folks, be able to pick the products you want that fit the needs of your network, but still be able to use all the information from those devices to make intelligent decisions.
Okay.
To the extent that the network is open and simple, is to the benefit of the IT administration.
Okay. Well, it does sound like you're saying that ultimately for access control, at least device access control, to be effective, it has to be right in the middle of the key infrastructure pieces on the network. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I think the thing that we focus on here at Lockdown Networks is to be able to gather information. So, for instance, when we make an access control decision with our device, we're looking at the information about the user. We use things like Active Directory and technology that we access through LDAP. We look at 802.1x authentication, Windows domain logins, and that sort of thing, so that we're very open. Regardless of how the user is coming into the network, we can make an intelligent decision about the user. Likewise, for the device, we have any number of ways to make an assessment on the device, from a network scan to a very intimate approach to the device, so that we can make the most intelligent decision possible. And it doesn't matter whose products they're buying within that network. We can work across any network. And I think that that's really key to the future, is to allow the customer to have that flexibility to choose the products that make sense for his or her network environment.
Okay, one of the things that you've been talking about in the last couple of answers is the information that's provided back to the network administration or network management. There is a lot of action right now about who's going to control that information. And by that I mean, if you've got all of these pieces of infrastructure equipment, all of the management software packages, all of the security-specific appliances that tend to be attached to the network, each of them provides information. Each of them will have some sort of management interface. But how do you decide which of those will be the primary interface that you use for your system and for your administrators to gather information about what's going on? Or is the poor administrator going to be faced forever with the task of sitting down in the morning and looking at a console from 24 different pieces of hardware and software?
Well, Kurt, I think that's just the problem, and that's what we're seeing, is that today most of the vendors, the large vendors that are trying to provide a solution in the space, are trying to orient it toward their particular technology in order to dominate the network and not necessarily provide the answer for the IT administrator. For instance, providing a solution, as long as every device in the organization runs the same operating system, is never going to be an effective solution, because we'll never have a network like that. Forcing everyone in a network to use the same firewall for everything doesn't make sense across the business needs. And furthermore, forcing users to use a particular switching infrastructure, and oh, by the way, just the latest version of that switching infrastructure costing millions of dollars to upgrade your switches, is not a solution. All of these things are technologies that seek to solve the problem but force the user to conform to a particular vendor and never have the capability to buy outside of that vendor again. And I think that that's just wrong. I think what IT people are looking for is the ability to buy the equipment that solves his or her problem within the network and have an open methodology for driving access control on the network. And that's exactly what our company is about. What we're actually providing is a solution to access control by working with any vendor switches, with any firewall vendor's firewalls, with anybody's permission system and authentication system. And I think that that's really what the IT organization needs, is the ability to drive control of the network while using the technology that makes sense to that network.
Okay. Now, let me ask a scaling question here. We tend in the media and to some extent in the vendor community focus on the access requirements of the very large enterprise. And I know that vendors love it when someone can sit down and sign a deal that's going to give them 50,000 seats. But we're also seeing organizations that are well towards the low end of the SMB market that have legitimate requirements for some fairly sophisticated access control on their network. What is the solution for them? Is anyone really addressing them, or are these solutions that you're talking about scalable in both directions?
Oh, I absolutely think so. If you architect it correctly, it's a scalable solution. In our world, we have a single appliance, a 1U appliance that can manage a small network that uses all the technology, because there's firewalls. If you look at the range of firewalls made by the leading vendors today, they have a full range from the small branch office all the way through corporate enterprise. And I think that an effective solution can address that small office, whether it's directly connected to that network or across a layer 3 boundary from a remote location, or should I say, from a central location managing a remote office. And I see this as one of the stumbling blocks and the challenges today, and to the extent that that problem can be solved, that becomes a truly effective solution. Again, in our world, we've got a simple appliance that manages the small office, but we can aggregate those together and scale them to manage any size network distributed throughout the entire world. And that's really the key to success, to be able to handle any size network.
Well, are you also seeing the demand out there from the much smaller organizations as well as the large ones?
I think today that the people that are making the investment tend to be the leading edge financial services organizations, insurance companies. Retail has embraced this, and academia and healthcare. And they tend to be larger organizations, but what is interesting to me is that no network is the same. So when we talk about a retail organization, they may have thousands of people in a specific location, but typically they'll have branch deployments worldwide. And in order to solve that enterprise problem, you not only need to be able to drive that home office infrastructure, but you've also got to be able to provide a solution that takes into account each of the branch offices. So in order to effectively manage the enterprise access, you need to be able to handle offices of all sizes, because most enterprises are comprised of that type of network infrastructure or architecture.
Okay.
So you really can't be successful if you only focus on the large enterprise, because of the nature of the orientation of the architecture.
Okay. Well, real briefly, let's dip back over towards the question of controlling users as well as devices. Do you see a time at which these two problems will start to come together? I mean, is there a way to authenticate users to a particular device and then have something control the access of the device? Or what other mechanisms might be out there for solving that particular problem?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is absolutely key to success. I think it's the important thing are the combination of those two things. When a device attempts to connect to the network, we need to authenticate the user and make sure we know who the user is. We need to understand what the user's permission levels are within the network and which devices that user's allowed to access within the network and services. And then as a second thing, we need to understand the device. We need to understand what are the vulnerabilities in the device. In academia, for example, they're very concerned about Kazaa and LimeWire being on the devices because that eats up bandwidth, and they're concerned about that sort of thing. So being able to evaluate the device for malware as well as making sure they have the right level of patches to prevent vulnerabilities and worms, to make sure that their virus signatures are up to date. And I think that the important thing is, as we do, provide a tool that allows the IT department to define the policy and then be able to make access decisions based on that policy. The important thing is when a device and or the user falls out of policy, to be able to quarantine that device into a separate network where there's nothing else in that network except for that user, so you prevent the leper colony effect. And then what we do with our product is provide a filter or a firewall such that we can get remediation services to that device quickly. And the goal is to be able to quarantine a device or device and user out of policy, get that device remediated, and then quickly get it back onto the network without ever having to pick up the phone and calling the IT department. And this is technology that we've developed and is readily available in our product today. But without that capability, I don't think that you have an effective solution.
Very good. Well, looking forward, as you're looking at the market and more specifically the set of problems over the next, say, 12 to 18 months, do you see dramatic strides forward across the market in addressing the problems?
I think that in looking at a number of the big companies, they're competing with each other and trying to gain more control over the network, and I don't think that's in the best interest of the user or the enterprise. I think that the most important thing for the enterprise is to be able to find solutions that don't impact performance and scalability, that allow scalability on an economically feasible level. I think that restricting use of network equipment to a single vendor is absolutely against the principles or the goals of the IT department. And I think that delivering a solution is very key, something that actually takes into account the business model of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that solutions dictate the use of an agent, for example, are in the wrong direction, that in some cases an agent makes sense, in some cases they don't. I think that IT departments need to find a solution that works with or without an agent, depending on their needs, even within varying parts of the enterprise. And I think that most of the large vendors are trying to drive the network in a particular direction because that's the only available set of tools they have. And I would suggest to IT administrators, don't be fooled by that. Look for vendors that are able to provide an open solution that works across all of the infrastructure, all of your different switching vendors, and all of your different technology providers. And that's the goal of Lockdown Networks, is to satisfy the IT administration's need for access control and to be able to enforce the policy. Today, I believe that every IT organization, even in small companies, has policy. I can walk into any vendor shop and find their policy, and they can tell me all about it. But the frustration that I see day in and day out is, even though they have a policy, verbal, written, they have no way to enforce that policy today. And the reason that we're in business is provide the ability for the user to enforce the policy using the equipment that makes sense to the needs of their network.
Well, that was my conversation with Brett Helsel, and I think you'll agree that there were a lot of things that we talked about that are worth thinking about regardless of how you're going to be implementing controlled access to your network. And when you think about it, controlled access is really what security is all about, because we want to allow legitimate access to those who have a proper need for it, while denying that access to those who don't. All we need is the magic bullet, and life gets easier for everyone. I'll let you know as soon as I find one. Now, let's talk a minute about upcoming podcasts. I have a whole slew of interviews that I've done over the past month that we're going to be trying to get out a little bit faster. So we're going to get at least one podcast a week, maybe two for the next month or so. Also, beginning next week, I'm going to have some podcasts from the Consumer Electronics Show. I'm going out to CES, and I think it's going to be interesting to see not only how the consumer market is addressing network security, but how consumers are playing into the idea of corporate security. You know, with people taking laptops home and people gaining access to the organization's network from all kinds of places, it's no longer quite so easy to draw the sharp lines that we used to about what constitutes personal security versus what constitutes organizational or enterprise security. So this is one thing that I'm really interested in looking at to see how all this plays together. You'll have at least one and probably two or three podcasts coming from CES. I'm really looking forward to that. We've also got a podcast coming up in the next week on a 2005 wrap-up and 2006 look-ahead. What's been going on? What were the big stories in security in 2005? And what are we looking forward to in 2006? Anyway, as always, thank you for taking the time to listen. Please let me know how we can make this podcast better for you. Drop me an email at cfranklin@cmp.com, and we look at every one of the comments and try to take them into account for future podcasts. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope that your holiday season has been good and that the new year will be absolutely superb for you, and I'm looking forward to the podcast to come in 2006. Until then, this is Curtis Franklin for Network Computing. So long.